Okay, so the first one, I actually want you to work on it for a bit or try to figure it out, and you're welcome to sit next to people and talk it over and all that good stuff. But what I've got is I've got a program that runs in two different things. Okay, this and this are attempting to do the same thing. And what I want to know is, will they produce the same output? Now, when I combined and put them together, because at first I had them as two separate and then I combined them, I threw in a bunch of echo BRs to make the output look nicer. So ignore those, okay? That's not what I'm interested in. What I want to know is, looking at these, will they produce the same output? So look them over for a few minutes. Feel free to talk to other people, and then we'll go over it. And bring it up on your screen, would you? It's because I want to go and log in to CIS Web. So everybody's staring at the board, and I can't go log in. So bring it up. Oh, you can't. You're not got the machine up even yet.
I already did it.
You already did it? Are you serious?
I already took this class.
Huh? Yeah, that's true. Why are you here? I wanted you here next week. No, no. You don't listen.
Oh, I'm getting coffee then.
Go.
I'm going to get it.
Bye. That's Tom. And I asked him to come next week at 9:30 because he has taken the course, only I'm still waking up. And so he's going to be here because I'm not. Okay. Next week I am taking it's going to be a hybrid week and I'm disappearing is what I'm basically telling you. I will be at home. I will answer all emails and things like that. But I've got grandchildren who are on spring break.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And so I decided years ago when I took this as a hybrid is so that I can take that week. Okay, so that's what I do is I take that week. So anyway, we will be running open labs in here. And the problem is that Eric doesn't know this. So Tom does, and I asked him if he would come at 9:30 on those 2 days so that if you had any questions, you could come and see him and go over them. So I won't be here, but Tom will. This will be an open lab that you can come in and work at all day, and I think Eric will be here till 2:30 or 3, starting at 11. And then Tom is going to come in at 9:30 so he can help go over stuff. And hopefully he's going to remember that he's coming at 9:30 next week as opposed to 9:30 today. But anyway, okay. So take a look at this. Tell me if it will work the same. And then we will move on. And I am going to go and log in to CIS Web. First thing you should do is figure out what's different.
What's the email to the service at the IT desk here?
I have no idea.
I just locked my account by accident.
They're just a short walk away.
Yeah, that's what I have to do.
So what's different in these two?
Underneath the year goal, there's an external line.
Okay. That's where actually the difference is. And the point that I wanted to make on this is look at result and the difference between those. Okay. In the top one, what I ended up doing was simply putting in the select that I wanted in there. So I said MySQL query link, and then I put the actual select in. In the one down below, I set up something that I call $SQL, and I put the select there, and then result has $link, $SQL. So I brought it down. So that's basically what I was getting at, but I'd gotten a few questions about that, so I wanted to make sure that you saw that what I need here is the select, but if the select is more complex, it's easier to make it a separate statement and then put it in, as opposed to sticking it in there. Okay? So if you take this, hopefully he's back. I thought you were really going.
Wow.
Okay, so if you take this and copy it, I can take it and copy it. So let's see. There he is.
Because I'm on
it. Didn't know it was lost.
Huh?
Didn't know it was lost. That's okay.
You're always here on time.
SCP.
Okay, so there I've put it in. And if I go and run this, hopefully it will indeed work. Okay, lots of warnings. What did I do?
Uh-oh. I got both of them to work, and they were pretty similar.
Yeah, they both work. I don't know what I did. Oh, I think I put them in something, so it doesn't know where the link is. That's what I did. But you did get them to work?
Yeah.
Okay. And that was the problem, and I will go back, but I put them and I don't have link pass there, which is why it didn't work. Okay, so go on to number two. And then we will look at two and three. And with two, I want you to take those three records that I've got down there and, you know, sketch out what it would do for you on that. And that's hard to read here, but that hyphen on there is a -3. Okay? That hyphen there actually goes with a 3 when I put it into the document. It didn't take. So try that one, and then if you get that one, move on to number 3. -3, what do you think that would do? It goes in from the back. -3 goes in from the back.
What's this? It says subfield. I don't have subfield in my...
Yeah, you do. Because I created it in the select. Look at where it is. It should be there at least. I was under the illusion it was there, so I'll go look in a minute.
Yeah, you did. I'm looking at it.
Okay.
All
So I just can't do anything this morning. Like spell. Yes, I can finally spell. Yes, if I put -3, 3, it means go in and take the last three letters of the name. Okay, that's what I came out with. When I used the whole file, you had to look for the names I told you to use. I just picked up a few names. But that was the whole file.
You have a lot more names than I do.
Yeah, no, I've probably played back and forth with this a lot. So I've got more names than probably... But the names that I put on this sheet for you to look at were Jennifer Ames, Susan Ash, and Robert Brooks. Okay. So if I come over to the results, Jennifer Ames is right there. And so I've got Jennifer Ames, and I've got the MES, which is the last three characters of the name. And then I've got the other things that I asked for. I just made up a name for it.
And it just made its own field.
Yes. Okay, so I went in there and I said, okay, concatenate. And I said, concatenate. Substring of name, go in three from the back and take three characters. Concatenate that with substring of city, which is go to the second character and take three. So that's going in from the front. And then I said concatenate that with state. And call what you just made here subfield. You know, you can give it an alias. You can give a field a name. So I called it subfield. Okay, and so when I look at Jennifer Ames, she's got MES, which is part of her name. The city was Providence, if you went and looked.
And so Providence got me the ROV because I went to the second character and took three. And then it was Rhode Island. And so I concatenated those all together and I called that subfield. So basically what I was doing there was making a code of some kind, okay, which is something you do, for example, in inventory a lot. You go in and you make a code out of a variety of the things, and that code may indeed become the ID number. And so that is called subfield. So when I came down here, I said, show me the name, show me the contents of subfield, and show me the year gold. And so that's what I'm seeing there. Okay. Questions? Question? No, okay. Questions? Yeah, sorry.
Okay. So you said it concatenated with the substring city 2-3, they've got ROV.
Yeah, because Providence is, happens to be the city.
Yeah, if, but how do we get three characters if it's 2-3?
The 2 says start at the second character. So Providence, the second character is the R, and then take three from there. Yeah. So go into the, on this one it went into the second character, Providence being P, and then it went to the R, and then OV. I'm actually not taking pictures of these. I'll put them up, the solutions up later.
Oops.
But I want people to do them at home. So I'm actually not taking pictures of these. I will give you the address. Well, you can see the address of the solution. It's in the third connect group, and it's question 1203ans.php.
So are we doing stuff out of that document, or are we doing stuff out of the Third Connect group? The quiz, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're doing that. I'm showing you where the answers are.
That's
right. I'm putting in here, concatenate the substring of names. -3 means go in from the back, take three characters. With city, go into the second, take three, and then with state. When I was playing around with this, I put in one of the mod things, and it had a, not a problem, it worked fine, but obviously it's a, I put in, I think, year goal and did a mod on year goal, and since year goal didn't exist, then it gave me nothing for that field, okay? So, if part of it it can't do in year goal, when I did a divide year goal by 3, it couldn't because year goal was nothing. And so it just didn't give me any code. It's not that it left off that piece of code. It didn't give me anything because it couldn't finish coming up with subfield. Okay, look at the third one. Come up with what the answer is going to be. and the attendance sheet went way up.
If your name is not on this attendance sheet, you have to do this as homework. So, my suggestion is that you put it on it. This is the 24th.
All day long.
Yes. Here's your pen back.
Thank you.
Okay, is somebody coming up with an answer on this one?
We have to make a table with this? I'm assuming we have to make a table.
No, well, it already exists.
It's making a table, yes. So
it
if
is?
You're writing out the answer.
Would it make its own table?
In HTML it is.
Yeah, well, okay. Table is two words.
Table?
No. Table is that kind of thing that looks like a table that you can put in HTML. And table is a file in a database. This is the kind of thing you can put in HTML that it's making. It's
so
not making a file.
I don't have to go into SQL, make the...
No, right. Table has two meanings. Yep. Table is the table you can create in HTML, and table is a file which is inside a database. Okay? And the reason they call that a table is it kind of looks like a table. If you have all the rows and all the columns, it ends up looking like a table. So they decided to call that a table too.
But it's zero. Exactly the data. Anyway.
So what did you come up with?
It returns just the monitor row.
Is anybody in agreement with that?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
But you will be shortly.
I got a bunch of warnings.
Now, the purpose for doing this is to make sure you can follow the code, because that's the first step to being able to write the code, is to understand the code. Okay, let's look at... Okay. Yeah, because there are only three records.
There are
three records, and so the three comes, and since I didn't put a BR in... And again, I have that connected successfully in all of my links, just so that I can feel reassured. And in the real world, I would obviously not have those. I would take them out. But I leave that there just because it tells me that it successfully made the connection in the link that I did. Okay, so the first thing that comes out of this is I said, okay, now echo out the number of rows in result. Okay, so result said select asterisks. So result selected them all. Okay, results selected them all. And so now I'm saying, okay, all three records are in result. Echo out how many rows are in result. So that's the three that you're seeing up there, is how many rows are in result. Okay? And then I came down and I said, basically, I was looking for the first, for result, comma, one, because I'm doing a data seek on result, comma, one. And it did that. And comma, one means the second one, so that's why I saw monitor.
Yeah.
So why didn't the table print afterwards?
It is. Believe it or not, that's the table. I didn't put a border in the table. So if I don't put a border in the table, I'm not going to see a table. But in fact, I said to do a TR, which is a single row, and then I've got TD, put row 0 there, row 1 there, row 2 there, row 3 there. And so it gave me a table. Okay.
Now,
yeah.
How does this work if I don't have INV first in my tables on SQL?
INV first.
Yes, yeah, because link.
Oh, it first. Wouldn't, yeah.
It wouldn't.
It wouldn't work because that's one of my tables.
So I would have to make this table.
So, right, to make this one work, you're going to have to go in and make inventory first. It's a table in your database. Okay? And inventory first has an ID, a name, and so forth. And I don't remember, I think these were cost and price or something like that. Okay. But yes, you would have to make that. Or actually, if you change this to donor, you'd probably be fine because I don't refer to anything by name. So if you change that to donor, I'm not sure this. I don't think I've got anything in there. So if you change the database to donor, database to your database, and made the table donor, I think it would probably work just fine, because I'm not referring to anything else by name that I can see. Okay, so if I go in there, and we'll find out. Question 3, answer. Okay, so again, if you want to see the answers to this, they're under the Connect group, and they are called question 1, ans.php, question 2, ans.php, and question 3, ans.php. So if I go in and I change this to donor, and I change this to, I think it's also called donor, right?
Yes.
And I run this.
Yeah, I got it to work with donor.
There's donor, okay? So I just went in and I changed it to donor, and because that's one of the nice things about row 0, row 1, row 2, row 3. It showed me whatever was in row 0, row 1, row 2, row 3. Okay, so I changed the database, I changed the table, and that gets you to the point that if you want to kind of make templates that you use that will show you something, you know, that will do something, you can, if you use row 0, 1, 2, and 3, then you're all set to be able to run a different table in a different database. If you use names of fields, then you can't do that. Yeah.
So how does the MySQL data seek affect the next part too?
Well, MySQL data seek only did a seek for that one row. Okay, and it put the run row in result.
So
stores it in Resolve.
Yeah, that's what the dollar sign Resolve is doing now, is it's storing that into Resolve, back into Resolve. And then I have the row equals that, and I just go through and do it, the one thing that I selected.
If I want multiple things, I've got to have a while. Okay? If I want only one thing, I don't need to have a while. And the reason is that result is going to come back. If I'm positive, it's only going to come back with one thing. When I do this data seek, which I am, then I only need to just print out that one row. But if I have multiple things, if I hadn't done that, if I had stayed with the result at the top, which got me all the records, then I need a while loop. Okay, so you've got the two things. SQL gets a clump of data. But if I need to process that data one record at a time, then I need to have a loop that loops through it one record at a time. So SQL returns all records that meet my criteria. But if I want to handle those records individually, including write them out, then I've got to do that in a while loop so that I can step through each record or a loop. Doesn't have to be a while loop. It can be whatever loop. But it's got to be able to step through each record. And that's the big difference between SQL and a lot of programming. Programming, you tend to process one record at a time. SQL returns all records that meet the criteria. In Oracle, which if you're in computing, you're going to be taking Oracle at some point next fall, Oracle has a language called PLSQL that we go through. And so the first half of that course is learning SQL. And the second half of that course is applying it in this kind of context that PHP applies it in, whereas the select gets the whole group, and then I process each individual record. And there are a lot of ways you can do it. PHP is one. This language that I was just mentioning, PL/SQL, is another. And there's a lot of other ways. But SQL returns all records that meet the criteria. And then if you need to print them out or display them on the screen or do anything, do a calculation with them, you've got to start processing them individually. Okay. So that hopefully was a refresher on the stuff that we went over on Tuesday. I would take some time next week and really go over the stuff that's in this third connect group and make sure you're comfortable with it. Okay. Okay, so what we're going to look at today is arrays. We're going to start looking at arrays for the next half hour, and then we will pick up on arrays. So, array group first, PHP. Okay. And these are looking at how you can work with an array in so I'm now in array group first PHP / I'm going to look at WNGB0, assuming that that's the first one. Yay. Okay, what we're looking at today is very basic arrays. What we'll look at after next week is some really kind of neat stuff that you can do in arrays in PHP. So I've got an array, and a lot of languages make me put in something to declare the array. But in this one, I am simply telling it what the array looks like.
that the array has four slots. And the thing does it right.
Come on, you can do it. There you go. Okay.
So the array has four slots. And the four slots are women's. So this is a department store or something. Men's, girls, boys. And they have an index of 0, 1, 2, and 3. Okay, so this is the index. It can also be called a subscript. It can also be called a pointer. Index being choice 1.
So there I've said, okay, I've got department name, and I'm going to have four department names. And you know enough to know that every name has to be unique, and I've just used the same name four times. So how do I make it unique? I put an index on it. And I say, okay, department name with an index of 0 is women's. Department name with an index of 1 is men's. So I've made the uniqueness that way. And hopefully, yes, it is saving. So now I can come down and I can print them all out. So I said 4, and then I've got count equals 0. That's where I want to start. I want to do it while count is less than or equal to 3. And every time I go through, I want to add one to count, okay? Count plus plus is another way of saying count equals count plus 1, okay? So I'm basically can write either one of those there. I can write the count, and I should put the dollar signs in, I guess. Count plus plus is just another way of saying count plus 1. Okay, and that's a C kind of language thing. The same as the curly braces are a C kind of language thing. So the for loop is going to echo out the word department, and then it is going to echo out the count. And then it's going to put in the department name. Okay. So I'm writing there over on the side. I'm writing department number and then whatever count is and then the equal sign. And then I'm saying, okay, put that count inside here and get the department name that goes with that count. So I'm getting the 0, 1, 2, 3. Okay, so that's a very basic array in PHP. Questions? And as somebody said, if you're taking Visual Basic, you're at about the point where you're getting arrays there. If you're taking C, you're at about the point you're getting arrays there. So, you know, basically, every language has their arrays. That's not what I wanted. Okay. And there's a bunch of them that you can look at. This one is using the for each. So the next one down is using the for each. Okay, so this one says, okay, an array that I'm setting up this way. I said department name equals array
and I've got women's, men's, girls, boys. And since it knows it's an array, good.
It is setting that up. Closing, Clea, please. Thank you. Okay, so it is actually setting that up so that women's is the zero because it's putting something there.
So women's, let's try this one more. Nah.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't want to play today. Okay. Can I figure out anything that I did? No. But anyway, I will write this in when I put the notes up at home. Women's will be zero, men's will be one, girls will be two, boys will be three, just like they were on the last one, okay? And so now I'm saying for each department name as the name, and notice what I write out down here is the name. So what I'm doing is saying I'm going to do a for each, which will step through the array one at a time. The array I'm stepping through is called department name, and the one I'm currently on is going to be called the name. Okay? Most languages have this for each. Some of them put the thing that's individual over there and the thing that's the total array over. You just have to learn the syntax of it. But it's basically saying for each department name, and I will call the current one the name. So then I can do an echo and say, show me department equals and give me the current one, which is the name. If I didn't want to have department zero on something, then I could have put in here, quote, not valid. Or something like that, close quotes, and then had women, men, girls, boys. And so if somebody entered in a department zero, I would get not valid. But in this case, we're stepping through the for each, I would actually see the not valid coming up if I did it with a for each. Okay, so, and that's one reason why sometimes you don't want a for each, sometimes you want to use your own for, because you can start your own for out of one, but the for each is going to start at the beginning. Yeah?
Yeah, the as part, they're just like basically temporarily reading the variable or whatever.
It's just basically saying the current one of department name will be known as the name.
Yeah, that's, like that's just the same as it is in Oracle.
Yeah.
Or okay. SQL, when you're like naming a column something as a.
You're actually defining the name right here. Notice there's no definition or anything. It's defining it right here as the current one of the name.
Okay. Like an alias.
Yeah.
No, you didn't have to.
Which mean like the current record for the name, right?
That's right. I mean, basically, for each means I'm stepping through a pile of, and in this case, I'm stepping through the array. So I'm stepping. I've got multiples, and so department name has got multiples in it. I don't use an index here. I just say that the current one will be known as the name. So it will do women's, then it will do men's, then it will do girls, then it will do boys. So if I bring it up, this one was called a name that was far too long.
WGB4.
AR for array, func for function. For each. Simple.
Lowercase f.
No problem. Okay? And then the first index, the first entry in the array, I wrote that out there. I said the first entry in the array is an index of zero, and I said echo department name zero, and it showed me women's. Okay? So the point here is, if I want to access them all, I can use my own for loop, which I did in the previous one, where I control it, and I said count starts at and ends at and all that. or I can use the four each to go through the whole thing. When I want to talk about an individual, I have to use the index. And when I was going through with my own four, what I did was I put count there or I there or whatever it is, but I put something that told me what the index was. Okay.
I got a question.
Alrighty, just 1 second. Because I want to try to find that one that I just had so we can see the comparison and then... Okay, so here, I'm in control. I started the count at zero. I said, well, it's less than three. Add one every time and show me department name modified by count. So in this one, I'm doing it. In the other one, the four each has a certain amount of automating. And why isn't it showing me? There it is. Good. Yes, now you can have your question.
In the four each version.
Yep.
On the line that does $ department name equal array. Okay? If you inserted another line after that saying to create a parallel array, okay, let's say like department detail, and then you populate it with four values. In the for each loop, if you set up a counter that started from zero to four, obviously because it's going to go through everything that's in department name, could you do a parallel echo on, say, whatever you name the array, saying department detail, and you would do like $ department detail zero?
I'd have to play with that. I don't actually. I'm trying to remember the syntax, and I'm not coming up with it.
Because you could.
But yes, you can do parallel arrays just fine.
Yeah.
I just am trying to remember the syntax.
No, what I'm saying is that let's say you do another one called department for detail, right?
Right.
And inside the for each, just inside the for each, you initialize, you start setting up a counter from zero. You know, you do that side, you set it to zero. And then right in the echo statement at the end, just before the break, you put like, you know, a delimiter. And then $ department deet, square bracket, zero, close square bracket. Would that work?
And that's what I'm telling you. I'm following you. I'm a little lost. If anybody, I'm just lost as to what you're saying.
Okay.
But you can do it. I'm just not sure that that's the way. If you want to try it, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think a for each would work in your example because you have zero at the end. So you just get, for department details, you just get the first index over and over.
Each will go variable, initialize it to zero, and increment it inside. Okay, I get what you're saying.
Like a
counter,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you want to do here? We'll try and see what we come up with. Wait a minute, let me copy this.
No, I don't want to take away from the class. I was just curious.
Okay. I don't think I did parallel arrays in this instance. I was just looking to see if I've got a parallel, but I don't think I do. I think that's... There's some kind of interesting stuff about the way they do those, and I do not think that I did it here. There's a for each where I just listed the stuff out. Okay, so I started out and I said, okay, well, now that I want to list them, and I'm going to have a UL, and then I'm going to have an LI in each one. And so if I run this one, this is for each list, I believe. Yeah. Okay, and in this one, I decided that I wanted to say the zero is invalid, and using the for each, therefore, I'm stuck with having the invalid show up. But if I did this with my own for statement, I could have started it at one, and then I wouldn't be seeing the word invalid there. Okay, because I could have started with one. For each is, if you want the world to work this way, and it's going to work just this way, use it. If you want some flexibility, you write your own for statement. Which is, I think, what my answer to him is, that I would write my own four statement. Okay. And then we get to this one. We got to run something else because this one is bringing in a department number. So I'm bringing in the department number and then echoing it out. Okay, so I've got an HTML that will bring in the department number. I will run the HTML. It's going to call this one. So this one is called MWGB array function. So I've got one of these down here that says send to the array function, and that's the HTML. Okay, so it is saying bring in a department number and send it to the array function. And then the array function will go ahead and use it. Okay. So if I type here the name of this, which is something, send array function .html. Okay. So I made a little form here. And the little form is asking me to enter in the department number. Okay. So if I end up entering 2 and then saying submit, it comes back with girls. And it came back with this program right here. And it came back and printed out girls. Because I sent over a 2 and 012 gets me girls. Okay, so I'm printing out department name modified by 2. Okay. And there are a bunch of variations on this. But the next one I want to look at, you can look at some of the variations. I think they're all pretty standard without... Oh, this one is actually one where I didn't put the names in, the numbers in, and it still figures out that the first one is 0 and the next one is 1 and so forth. And so this one will work just fine as well. Okay. There's a lot of flexibility in PHP in dealing with its arrays. And so if I run this one is without PHP. Without. Whoops. Come on, you can do it. Okay. So that generates that. So it worked without putting the numbers in, is the point I'm trying to make. And in some languages, that would never be allowed. But I don't have the numbers in there. It makes assumptions that the first one I listed is the 0, and the next one is the 1, and the next one is 2 and 3. Wow. And so it works.
Wow.
I don't think I would choose to do this necessarily, but yes, it works.
That defies every programming experience I've ever had.
Yes, you're right. You're so right.
That's just lazy.
Okay. Yeah, you know, the hard part is to make the square brackets. So once you've made the square brackets, sticking in the number isn't all that hard. Or at least it is for me. But as I've said, I never made it through the keyboarding to the special characters section in the back of the book. So I still have to look at the special characters.
My first employer in the field of computer programming told me the lazy programmer theology. The lazy programmer finds the most efficient way and fastest way to do things. And I disagreed with him.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Well, he was my boss, like, I must have.
I've seen some of those lazy results. And if you really want to see a language that was written by people that advocate that theory, it's Perl.
Really?
Oh, it's a nightmare.
No kidding.
They clearly never took a keyboarding course and never wanted to. And so they had it set up so that, you know, it's a very minimal. And, I mean, I tell the story of I was reading a book on Perl, and there was a paragraph that long that just went like this. And it worked. The paragraph worked. Copy and paste, the paragraph worked. You know, 2 hours later, I was on line two trying to figure out what it was that this foolish thing said. And, I mean, it just, you know, because it had so many symbols, and this symbol in front of this symbol means this. But if it's this...
Oh, boy.
It's just, it's a nightmare when you get to a certain level in Perl.
And then if you're doing that in the VI editor, it's a whole lot more fun.
So, I think, how are we doing? No, we got a little bit of time. All right, I'm going to look at the two-dimensional one. So these are single-dimension arrays, and then you also have a two-dimensional array. And this one is set up as fares with an S. Fares to dim. Okay, and it's telling me the fare is 9158. So what it's done is it has set up an array, a two-dimensional array. And the way it does it, it says, okay, I've got an array, and now within that array, I am setting up three more arrays. So each row becomes an array. So I'm saying set up an array, and then within that, set up three more arrays. For three more rows.
There's mine again.
So how does the 2, 1? I said here the fare is going to go 2, 1. So where does what does the 2 mean?
The 2 specifies the primary array and the 1 specifies the subpart of that array.
So you go down to the 2, which is the third row down, and then 0, 1.
Yeah.
Okay? So you're going down to the 2, and then you're going across to the 1. And that is getting you the fare. Okay, so we don't know what those mean, but essentially... Let's say that the top row was flying from Boston and the next one was flying from New York and the next one was flying from Chicago or something like that. And then these are the places that I'm flying to going across there. Okay. So I've got my from and I've got my to if I want to do it that way.
Do arrays in this language go beyond 2 dimensions?
Oh, yes. Okay. And they also, as I said, we'll get into some really interesting things with arrays. If that hurts your head,
No,
the one before where they didn't put the numbers in. I'm going to give you some more that are going to hurt your head even more.
The language I've been working in for the last 26 years is PIC, and it uses multidimensional arrays.
Okay.
So that's...
Then it won't hurt you.
No.
Just has arrays today.
Okay. Which one did I... Original... Yeah, okay. The original one is... You could also have written it like this. Okay, so this is the other way that you can write it. So I can set up each thing individually and say... Row 0, row 1, row 2, element 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, element 0,
and go across like that. Okay.
With the right kind of loop, you can build these.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely, because what you want to do is, in some cases, let user input come in before you run, and so you're going to build it. Okay, and so I set up two arrays here. I set up from city with a 1 and to city with a 3, and so it went in and got 1, 3. And so if I run this one, I've got fares to dim original. Okay. And I wrote it out twice, apparently. Okay. So from the city was a 1, to city was a 3, so it went down to 1. $5.25. Okay, technically I have 4 more minutes. I realize I've run out of your goodwill by now, but okay, and then the next one, I've got the 1-3 in. And he's going to play rapt attention for the next 3 minutes, right? Okay. And then I set up the from city and the to city, so that's the same. And I'm trying to think if I have anything more or else I really am done. Okay, so this one I've got 3 different arrays in. I've got, and I'm sending information over. So I've got a from city, I've got a to city, and then I have got the names and all that good stuff. That applies to you too, Zach. Okay, so now I am looking for send version 3 is probably it. Yep. So in this one, if you take a look at it, and then I will be done. This one is called send version 3. Fairsend version 3.html. Okay, so this comes up and it uses this form to ask me to find a city that I'm going to go from. And so I have Boston Province and New York and a city that I'm going to go to. So I'm going to go from, well, I might as well take Boston to Baku, and I'm going to submit that. Okay? And so when I submit it, it is going to say, you are flying from Boston, you are flying to Baku, and the fare is $9.495. Okay? And so if I look at this, I've got the 3 arrays. So I brought in the from city, I brought in the to city, and now I am accessing the 3 arrays. A simple array from the from and the to, and a two-dimensional array. So I said, you are flying from city, modified by from city.
That's almost, wow.
So he's going to keep you, he decided.
Yeah.
That's Stu?
So wait, did you... In the last?
No.